Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this 12th day of July 2005. Glad you've joined us here. Greenville, Spartanburg, and Greenville downtown have 74 degrees. Anderson, 74, and Clemson, 74. Everybody's about 74 today. Mostly cloudy today. Scattered showers this morning. Then scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. High in the upper 80s. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. A chance of rain is at 50%. So you might be prepared for that as you make your way out to work this morning. Glad you've made part of your day listening to Christian Worldview. Lots of exciting things going on, as always, here at Christian Worldview, where you get an alternative version of things, to say the least. And not only that, we are here to help you think better. It's appalling to us how many Christians don't have a Christian worldview, and we're here trying to help people attain a Christian worldview. Last night, I had the pleasure of attending the graduation ceremony and the last video presentation on the Institute of the Constitution, sponsored by the Constitution Party. And it was being held at South Point Baptist Church in Pelzer, South Carolina. It was a great institute, a great time of fellowship with a lot of other Christians and people who think about the Christian worldview. It's a rare thing to find this day and age, but we indeed found a good 50 or 60 of them there at the South Point Baptist Church. Hope they do it again. From what I understand, a Bible Baptist Church in Pickens will be starting the exact same institute on August the 1st. So if you're still if you live in Pickens or maybe even in Anderson County and you're interested in going to the Institute on the Constitution, I encourage you to do so. If you go to 8 of the meetings
local
at 12,
news, weather and information.
What was that?
News Talk AM.
All right, somebody's butting in. Must be something else coming into our under our system here. Have to check with our production staff to see what they're messing with this morning. At any rate, sorry about that glitch, folks. If you're interested in attending the Institute on the Constitution, you might just call Pastor Tony Romo and find out more information about the one going on in Pickens in August. You get a nice diploma at the end. They actually handed me a diploma. A guy came down from Faruka's office and handed everybody else. It was a nice time to graduate, and we were all declared to know more than most congressmen except for Ron Paul, and who we love, of course, dearly. And probably nearly any city councilman or other lower bureaucrat or politician in the system simply by completing this course. And that's probably true. I mean, that's not saying a whole lot. Remember, we're talking about public school goons, people who have graduated from the public school and know nothing about the Constitution or simply know that it's antiquated and it's a living document and can be changed, those kinds of things. So, we probably do know more about the Constitution, strictly speaking, than those folks do. But that might have been the case even before we attended. I don't know. But at least we know for sure by having the diploma in hand now that we are better equipped than the vast majority of politicians who try to run the country. Anyway, sad but true. Well, here's our first story of the day. Let's go ahead and read this. Let me give you the phone numbers before I do. 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You can also try our backup line, 864-201-6955. Hope to hear from you soon on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Here's something from the Future of Freedom Foundation. In fact, Hornberger, who usually writes, who runs this thing, had an excellent article yesterday on why in the world we get attacked and Switzerland doesn't by terrorists. And so it has to do with our manipulative interventionist foreign policy. Now, notwithstanding the idea that's possible that we have not been attacked by terrorists, only by George Bush, assuming that the government's line is true, then we could certainly jump to the next conclusion, or not, and it wouldn't be jumping to the conclusion. We could certainly deduce the next thing, and that is that we're attacked because we meddle in affairs that are not our own. We attack innocent people, people that haven't done any harm to us. We violate the Constitution of our own land. and we make liberty, well, wince to say the least, or maybe how it, we just make a mockery of liberty and the principles of the founding fathers. Of course, that doesn't seem to affect George W. Bush. He doesn't seem to care too much that he so affects liberty. He's so much more interested in his own power grab, continuing his insane wars and policies. Well, here it is. The Future of Freedom Foundation has an article by Anthony Gregory, whom we enjoy very much. Good man. The Most Important Argument Against the Draft, it's entitled. As neoconservatives and some liberals contemplate bringing back the draft, it is time for all friends of liberty to prepare for a national defense of the utmost importance. Restoring conscription would be a monumental assault on individual liberty in America, one of the worst assaults since the military draft was last used in 1973. Many Americans fall back on utilitarian arguments against the draft, saying it's unnecessary or ineffective in defending America or engaging foreign interventions. These arguments might well be sound and have their place, but the most important fundamental argument against the draft is moral. The draft is a form of slavery. There is no way around it. Compelling a person to work for the state is involuntary servitude. Forcing a person to fight, kill, and possibly die in a war, and threatening resistors with imprisonment and deserting conscripts with death is practically a particularly immoral brand of enslavement, and it is murder for all conscripts who do not survive the war. That some people are uncomfortable bearing or hearing or voicing this argument demonstrates how far we must go before America becomes a truly free society. The greatest triumph for individual liberty in modern times was the abolition of chattel slavery, which occurred throughout the Western Hemisphere in the 19th century, but which first advanced as a goal largely on moral grounds. The American abolitionists believed that slavery was totally incompatible with human freedom and civilization. They learned not; they feared not in saying so. They used unequivocal language to advance their uncompromising principle. As William Lloyd Garrison put it in the first issue of the anti-slavery publication The Liberator in 1831. I am aware that many object to the severity of my language, but is there not cause for severity? I will be as harsh as truth and as uncompromising as justice on this subject. I do not wish to think or speak or write with moderation. No, no, tell a man whose house is on fire to give him a moderate alarm. Tell him to moderately rescue his wife from the hands of the ravisher. Tell the mother to gradually extricate her babe from the fire into which it has fallen. But urge me not to use moderation in a cause like the present. That the Constitution sanctioned slavery did not give pause to Garrison in his unwavering words of conviction. Instead, it inspired him to condemn the Constitution as a covenant with death and an arrangement with hell. Now, the Constitution has long been amended to forbid slavery and involuntary servitude. We do not need to condemn the Constitution to condemn the immoral institution of conscription. Every major instance of the U.S. government's implementing the draft since the Civil War, or that's also known, for those of us who aren't familiar with that term, the War of Yankee Aggression or Northern Aggression, during the World Wars and the Korean and Vietnam Wars, has stood in clear violation of the 13th Amendment. The Constitution, in its current language, leaves little room for interpretation of its prohibition of forced labor. As compelling as they may be, the constitutional arguments against the draft are secondary in importance to the moral issues involved. Lysander Spooner took the approach that the Constitution actually forbade slavery, and he even eventually converted Frederick Douglass to that position. As a rhetorical strategy, it never achieved much, however, any more than the constitutional arguments against the draft on the 13th Amendment grounds presented by anti-war activists during the First World War. Their arguments were quite sound, but they landed a number of war dissenters in jail merely for voicing them. What eventually made people come around to the slavery issue, and what will most likely make them come around on the draft issue, is the moral argument of the abolitionists, who unconditionally championed the rights of individual persons to self-ownership. They succeeded not only in the eventual abolition of slavery in much of the world, but in forever etching in people's minds everywhere the axiomatic and self-evident truth that slavery is a grave injustice that must be condemned and never defended. So powerful is the idea that people are afraid to compare anything to slavery. But in the context of military service, the anti-slavery ideal has not yet been embraced. Otherwise, there would be little confusion or shock when one utters that the draft is a form of slavery. The draft is among the greatest of all crimes the modern Western state inflicts upon its own people. For all of one's liberty to be stolen, to have to serve the state, even at the cost of one's own life, is far greater injustice than to face a tax increase or a new burdensome regulation. As horrible as the latter policies are to one's liberty and property, if someone cannot own himself, All of the property rights have become moot. When his liberty is seized for the purpose of killing, wretched insult and injury are not only added to the grave injustice of compelled labor. We need to repeat this idea to ourselves. If we are successful to prevent the reemergence of conscription in our time, we must dedicate ourselves to the moral issue of opposing the draft as we would dedicate ourselves to opposing the greatest of all totalitarian threats to our freedom. Conscription is slavery, and if it returns, any arguments over whether America is a free country become obsolete. No nation is free when its government seizes not just the products, but the very means of labor from its young. A nation that utilizes conscription is in the name of freedom suffers under the most perverse of absurdities, for to the extent that young people can be forced to fight, there is no free society left to defend. And Anthony Gregory is a research assistant at the Independent Institute and serves as a policy advisor to the Future of Freedom Foundation. And you're listening to Christian Worldview after that exciting opening topic with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question." And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I want to remind you to visit tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com. You'll find there all sorts of information that are of use to those of who are Christian thinking people, active people in the upstate of South Carolina in particular. We have all the local events that go on, including the Greenville County Libertarian Party, the South Carolina Constitution Party, the Institute on the Constitution. That just had its last meeting in Pelzer. We'll be starting their new Institute on the Constitution meeting up in Pickens. It's going to be at Bible Baptist Church. You can still call the old number and find out directions to the new place. Americans for Constitutional Government meeting, the Greenville County Taxpayers, the League of the South, and the Carolina Patriots. All of these groups are actively involved in changing our society for freedom here, and we're encouraging them to do so, and we want to be supportive in every way of these institutions, as well as places like Christian Exodus and Christian Libertarians and Libertarians for Life, and many of the other groups that are listed as links under the related media section. At any rate, if you look at the calendar at the bottom of tyrannyresponse.com, you'll find out that this week, this evening, there is a Carolina Patriots meeting in Asheville tonight at 6:30. If you want directions or information about it, go to the tyrannyresponse.com website. On the 14th, that's Thursday night, there's a Libertarian Party business meeting. And at this meeting, it will be held at Prime Sirloin off of Woodruff Road. You're invited to attend. In fact, the Libertarian Party would encourage you to attend there the second Thursday of every month at the Prime Sirloin across from Greenville Mall. And all visitors are welcome. At 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month, that'll be in 2 weeks from tomorrow, it's Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown Greenville. You can meet up with the Libertarian Underground meetup meeting. We'd love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. And we appreciate the Libertarian Party's support of Christian Worldview as well as the Tyranny Response Network. Finally, this week, on the 15th, we have a meeting at the Carolina Patriots in Fountain Inn. That's at 104 South Main Street in Fountain Inn. If you can attend that at 6:30, it's $6 for dinner. We hope that you will attend and enjoy the time there. So those are some of the meetings for this week. They're all available as soon as Ben Ritchie updates our calendars, and it's usually at least by the second week of the month. He's been doing pretty well so far, but the July calendar is certainly up to date. Next week, also look for the only meeting of the week on Thursday, the League of the South, Thursday night at 6:30. For some reason, the Constitution Party put its monthly meeting that same night. Apparently, they're going to be changing that, but there will be a conflict next week of two meetings next Thursday night, League of the South and the Constitution Party. Also, under the audio tab here at the TyrannyResponse.com website and the TyrannyResponse.net website, you'll find not only today's show, yesterday's show, and the show 2 days ago, you'll find the Nature of the State and Christians' Relationship to Its Public Policy section of the Liberty Minutes programs. These are excellent programs for teaching and learning something about the Christian worldview with respect to various issues. The new one, which will be posted here shortly, it's already been completed, it's just a matter of when Richie can get it up onto the page, probably today or tomorrow, is called Rights, Just War, and Public Policy Theology. Last week's piece was the Second Amendment. Actually, it was a few weeks ago now. The Second Amendment and Public Policy Theology. The one before that was the Theology of Public Policy in Historical Context. Before that, the Divine Ordination of State Criminals and Legalized Crime. And before that, the Christian Reviews on Rebellion or Resistance, highlighting the American War for Independence. Before that, we had Christians in Self-Defense Against Criminals, Including the State. The whole doctrine of self-defense presented. And finally, the difference between government and the state, following A.J. or Albert J. Nock. All of these are available to you if you want to learn more about the theology of public policy in audio file. They're also available in print off of the policyofliberty.net website. Under this audio tab, you'll find even more stuff about policy issues relating to immigration, relating to marriage, relating to the golden calf of democracy, what is a neocon, issues about the lottery. All of these different things are available there as well on the tyrannyresponse.net website. We hope you'll go there and make use of these things because they are good tools, I think, in promoting the cause of truth in a very wretched time in which we live. Well, we want to also suggest that you go and take a look at the tab on the tyrannyresponse.net website called Related Media. Scroll down to the bottom and find the petition section. Under the petition section, we have End United Nations Tyranny Inside the U.S., Abolish the Income Tax, Citizens' Petition to Reverse Roe versus Wade, and the petition to abolish the Federal Reserve and the United Nations, as well as the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition, which I drafted, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, to send to the South Carolina Legislature. Currently, we have 201 signers of this petition, and you can sign it as well. When you go to that site, the tyrannyresponse.net website, scroll down to the link, you click on it, and it will automatically pop up on your Internet Explorer browser the petition to redress grievances and to promote natural or fundamental rights here in the state of South Carolina. You can sign this thing in about 30 seconds, and you simply put your name, your city, and your county, and press sign, and it's done. Please go ahead and do that. Make sure that you take part in promoting liberty in our land. And let me give you just a quick overview. Well, we're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to read the South Carolina petition or fundamental rights petition to redress grievances. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
A petition for redress of grievances. We, the people of South Carolina, petition the South Carolina legislature to approve and declare the following proposed amendment to the South Carolina Constitution, whereby the inalienable nature of our rights will be plainly decreed as unalterable, irreversible. Be it resolved that we, the people of South Carolina, hereby declare and affirm that the inalienable rights to life, liberty, and property, or the pursuit of happiness set forth in the Declaration of Independence and the Fifth Amendment Bill of Rights to the Constitution are fundamental rights, which were derived antecedent to the existence of the state, as manifest in both the United States federal government and the state of South Carolina. As such, the state does not grant rights to life, liberty, or property. On the contrary, the primary reason that government is formed is to protect rights to life, liberty, and property, and no South Carolinian or American holds his fundamental rights at the pleasure of the state. Furthermore, we the people of South Carolina declare and affirm in particular that all human beings are equal sharers in the right to life, and that the state may not abridge the right to life of any particular human being or class of human beings without due process of law and subsequent conviction of a capital offense. All human beings are equal sharers in the right to liberty, and that the state may not forcibly enslave, conscript, or incarcerate a human being without due process of law and subsequent conviction of a crime. All human beings are equal sharers in the right to enjoy and hold property, so long as their pursuit of happiness does not infringe upon the rights of other human beings, and the state may not take private property without due process of law, or take it for public use without just compensation. Such public uses include highways, dams, bridges, government office buildings, military installations, and similar public projects. Other uses, such as increasing local tax revenues, clearing urban blight, removing church buildings, promoting promoting urban development and similar proactive public interest or private welfare schemes are not contemplated in the phrase for public use. The phrase just compensation refers to market value based on comparable properties and would not preclude the government from paying relocation expenses. With steadfast determination, sincerely, the undersigned. We hope that all of you will go to, who have not done so already, will go to the petitiononline.com website. Then you reach that simply by going to tyrannyresponse.net, as I mentioned earlier, clicking on the related media tab and scrolling down to the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition and sign this petition. 201 people have already done so, many of them from all over the state, not just the upstate, many of them from different political parties, not just Constitution Party or Libertarian Party. We've actually even had one person describe themselves as a bleeding heart liberal Democrat who signed the petition. We need to get the word out, folks. It's not just a matter of you signing personally. Get the link, copy and paste the link, and send it out. Blast it to every person you know who lives in South Carolina and tell them to take 30 seconds out of their morning and sign this petition. It can only benefit us in the long run. Now, what will we do with this petition? What's our goal? Well, we don't have a referendum process here in South Carolina, and I think it's more than just a hand-waving gesture. What we hope to do is if we actually have 10, 20, 30,000 people who sign this thing eventually, Lord willing, we will be able to go down and literally put it in the face of the legislators here in South Carolina. I'll be happy to do this, as well as many others have already mentioned that they would be willing to do the same thing. But the first thing we would do is we'd go to local media, and we would tell people here, as well as in other parts of the state perhaps, that we have this many people who have signed this petition in response to the Kelo case, and we intend to make our views known and tell the legislature that we want this bill presented to the voters as an amendment to the Constitution of South Carolina. Now, that's worth something, worth trying for. It's a little thing that you can do. It's not a whole lot of your time or energy. Go to this website and sign the petition for the South Carolina fundamental rights to protect your property and other natural or fundamental rights that we believe are antecedent to the state. And the state doesn't seem to agree with us at the moment, because they just don't understand the nature of the Declaration of Independence, what it means, or the Constitution of the United States. Had they ever? Well, I guess they have at some point, but it's so far out of time, out of mind, we can't imagine what it would be or when it would have been. Appreciate your support of that particular amendment. Let's move on to a couple other stories if we have a chance real quick here. I want to remind you that George Bush is not spreading democracy in Iraq. I want to remind you of this because he's a liar, he's a buffoon, he's taking advantage of you. If you're a Christian and you voted for him, you did indeed sin. He did not put in the man of the hour, God's man for the hour, to promote the kingdom of God in the world. We believe God ordains all of these evil rulers, including George Bush. But that does not mean that he is serving God in the sense of trying to install the law of God in this land. As a matter of fact, George Bush works against the law of God. He does not, except for a very few exceptions here and there, he has not done well at all. And when he spreads democracy to other lands, like the Iraqi nation, he is spreading Marxism to that land. How can you say that, Dr. Cohen? Well, I say that because they're condoning the Iraqi Bill of Rights. We've read it, I mentioned this several times on the Christian Worldview program. The Iraqi Bill of Rights not only includes all sorts of environmentalist poppycock and nonsense and claptrap from socialists and people who love the United Nations Declaration of Independence, it includes themes like social justice, which are euphemisms for Marxism and liberation theology, socialized medicine for people having children, for maternity care, for kids, and actually for everybody. It supports public education to the fullest extent possible, and government-run schools, pagan seminaries. It runs guaranteed employment. It guarantees employment. It guarantees welfare for people who can't work or have other disabilities and so forth, or just for whatever reason. It has a full abridgment of rights that make the Patriot Act look tame. It includes housing rights and people's right to own a house at the government dole. Feminism is promoted. Gun restrictions are promoted. It supports the arts and the sciences. In other words, payoffs and money given by pork projects to arts and science programs. Common ownership of natural resources are supported by this Iraqi Bill of Rights. And the state promotion of virtue and morals, whatever that might mean under a socialist state. It really erodes the freedoms of Iraqis it brings democracy to that land, truly. And that's what we need to be opposed to, folks. This shows the true colors of George Bush. Did he write it? Oh, obviously not. But he supports it because this is what he thinks is supporting democracy in that land, supporting this kind of socialist tripe and claptrap. And folks, don't believe for a minute that George Bush is your friend or actually doing the right thing by selling out America in this, well, selling out Iraq as well, but selling out Americans to go over there and fight this insane war, or potentially drafting people into slavery, as we read about conscription earlier on the show, and doing his other buffoonery with the American economy, giving lip service to Christian ideals, being opposed to abortion in principle and doing nothing about it, being opposed perhaps to government funding of education and then bloating their budget ever bigger than it's ever been before, spending more than even Bill Clinton could ever have dreamed of spending, and getting away with it because the gullible Christian right has not stood up and said, this guy is an evil traitor to the Constitution, a Christian only in name, and is no more a Christian than any homosexual minister in the United Methodist Church where he attends. He is so far from being a Christian in his actions that we need to not disabuse ourselves of the notion that he is indeed a Christian, and instead stand on the truth that his actions speak louder than his words, and we're going to reject those things that reject him as the God's man for the hour. Well, there's my soapbox for the morning. In fact, I'll probably have more when we come back from this break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. 75 or 76 degrees just about everywhere, from Clemson to Anderson to Greenville to Spartanburg. Today, mostly cloudy, scattered showers in the morning, then scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, highs in the upper 80s, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. The chance of rain stands at 50%, so be prepared as you're making your way out to work for a little bit of wet weather today, warm, muggy weather most likely. It kind of reminded me of Hawaii. I used to live there for about 13, 14 months, and it was very much the same kind of weather, where it rains a little bit, warm rain, and the ground's still wet and the sun comes out, and then it kind of gets a little cloudy again, a little shower perhaps. I think that's what we're on tap for us again today here in the upstate of South Carolina. Well, let's talk about some things that are controversial. We rarely ever do that. We just basically lambasted the President of the United States for being the evildoer that he is. And not as bad as Nero. I know he's not as bad as Stalin. And you could always name somebody that's worse. If you're an ultimate pragmatist and you listen to things like the Festival of Ignorance show on AM 660 from 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning, then you know, or if you listen to Russ Castle and that other mess over there, you realize that indeed, you know, the people are out there promoting George W. Bush as a great guy. Now, maybe Russ Castle's got a little more sense than Tony Beam does, but we have more sense than all of them combined, because we don't believe any of the nonsense that they promote. George W. Bush may not be Stalin, he may not be Hitler, but he ain't no good guy. He's somebody bad for America, folks. Here's something controversial from LouRockwell.com. Gambling, Religion, and the Bible by Greg Perry. Yesterday we read Greg Perry's article about homeschooling and against the pagan seminary, the public school, the government school. And we were very impressed with Greg Perry, and for good reason. Excellent writer and had some excellent things to say. Well, here's something that's sure to stir up some controversy on gambling, religion, and the Bible. As we read what Greg Perry has to say, he's a Christian, as I understand it, and a libertarian at the same time, just like me. And he's also, I believe he's handicapped. Isn't that right? Is Greg Perry? Yeah, he has only one leg and two fingers or something like that, and he still writes books, and he prefers to use the word handicapped because he doesn't like to be politically correct. So we applaud him for that move. Anyway, here's what Greg Perry says. The recent discovery of casino records showing William Bennett's decade-long gambling pattern has many of his admirers cringing at his detractors and his detractors celebrating. The news reports consistently allude to how his family values and Christian conservative values conflict with his casino actions these past 10 years. Mr. Bennett's religion is Catholic, with bingo being available in many Catholic parishes, as well as the idea of gambling not being looked upon too adversely by that religion. Mr. Bennett is not being consistent with his religion. Nevertheless, Mr. Bennett's admirers across the religion divide so much that he probably has more fundamentals in his camp, such as Southern Baptists, than Catholics. And the fundamentalists are generally opposed to gambling, really opposed. Mr. Bennett faces a hard decision. He cannot afford to lose his conservative audience, and yet he is in real danger of doing so if he has not lost it already. He will certainly pay a price for his gambling far and above any losses he may have sustained at the casinos. As a side note, the casinos are now scrambling to locate the source for the leak. Park Place Entertainment, owners of Bally's and Paris Resorts, were named as one of Bennett's locales. Those establishments and the others Newsweek mentioned, who in the past provided themselves and their players' privacy, now face monumental public relations scare, second only to Bennett's, when their more secretive players make a decision whether to remain players or to move to casinos that honor the secrecy they've entrusted at those casinos. Millions wagered, millions lost. How much won? The article describes how Bennett has lost as much as $8 million in a 10-year period. The amount is certainly shocking to most who cannot imagine such a loss. One must remember, however, that Bennett is a high-income individual whose gross annual income probably rests comfortably in the double-digit millions. Taken in that light, his losses are not relatively very much for his for the man or his family. More critical to the amount he lost is how much he won, but the Newsweek shows little energy in seeking to discover that amount. Absolutely no mention was made of the winnings Bennett received during the decade. He certainly didn't play $8 million over the past 10 years without a single win. Each casino must give a W-2G tax form for on all wins over $1,199. In playing more than $8 million through the high-limit machines he played, Bennett would have received a very large number of W-2G tax forms to offset some, if not all, or more than he lost, and he would have been paid all wins under $1,199 without tax record being given to him. Newsweek stated that Bennett enjoys video poker, playing video poker perfectly on a fair returning machine nets 99.5% to 102% over time. That means that over the decade Bennett played, his $8 million wagered would have returned him anywhere from $7.95 million to $8.16 million for the effort. And in 10 years' time, therefore, if he falls to the expected range of losing a maximum of $50,000 to winning $160,000, for a man who makes millions each year, these expected dollar returns certainly does not seem to support his claim that he was relaxing, it was a relaxing hobby enjoyed two or three times per year. Well, this article is kind of strange in some sense, because if he has gambling losses of $8 million, it doesn't mention anything about gambling winnings. I think there was a net loss that he had. But I don't quite understand how in the world you could put that many quarters or whatever. What do they take, dollars? I don't know, on video poker machines or whatever those things he are playing. He'd have to sit there for an awful long time to pump $8 million. And quarters would be 24 million quarters in 10 years. That's 2.4 million quarters a year through these machines. Or it'd be at least, you know, $600,000 silver dollars or something through this. There's something wrong with his logic here. I don't think, does Bill Bennett like hang around in the Paris resort and do nothing but sit around and put this money through there? I don't think so. Now, I'm not a big fan of William Bennett. I think he makes a lot of mistakes, and so I'm not going to be here defending William Bennett's actions, and I'm not going to defend him as a conservative either, because his insane war on drugs policy is not only costing lots and lots and multiple billions of dollars a year, it causes mayhem in other countries where we completely destabilized by the policy, causes crime and poverty to be worse here in the United States. But because of Bill Bennett's buffoonery about this sort of thing, he continues to go on his tirade talking about how successful he's been, when in reality all he's done is made the problem worse through that being drug czar, and brought an incredible loss of rights on Americans through the RICO Act. Simply speaking, property rights can be totally trumped by the RICO Act to anybody who has a pot plant, or somebody who hates you, mails you a ounce of cocaine or something like that, or a gram or whatever amount it is. Maybe it's something they confiscated from a police force. They want your property. They simply mail it to you. It arrives Federal Express the same time the DEA agent is there, and without appeal, your property is taken from you, even though you had nothing to do with the drug being sent to you. Ridiculous, and William Bennett is the mastermind behind this kind of stuff, and we're opposed very much to that. Now, we want to get back to the theory of the lottery that Gregory comes up with. I'm not sure why he went through that whole other thing earlier, because it just raises a lot of doubts in my mind, but we're going to discuss further what he has to say about religious rights and wrongs with regard to the lottery when we come back. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a second.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question." Oh, that was some dead air for a while. Okay, we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're talking about Gambling Religion in the Bible by Greg Perry. We hope to hear from some callers. If we don't offend them all this morning, we've had a few people when we talked about gambling get offended because they hated it at all costs or whatever. Well, Perry, who is a cripple, a handicapped person, and a great author and writes computer books, even though he only has two fingers on one hand and one leg. I guess he wouldn't use his leg too often to write at any rate, but... at any rate, the fellow is writing about gambling and religion and making some comments about Bill Bennett. He says, with regard to religious rights and wrongs, whether he won or lost and to what extent is not an issue to those who disagree with what he did. They do not see the size of the sin as being important as the sin. The religions that frown on Bennett's actions will be hard-pressed to forgive the man. After all, they had entrusted him to abstain from these things in the first place, and he pulled this off for the first 10 years without their knowing. He can ask their forgiveness, and he may get it, but their trust may not be so fast to return. They will be likely to move on to other authors when they see his books on the racks. When two Christian religions collide, the religion of the left enjoys the show very much indeed. How wrong was Bennett? Should he follow his Catholic religion? Should he follow the fundamentalists who perhaps comprise the majority of his audience? Personally, I don't care what either religion says. What is important to me is what God says about the matter. He wrote the best-selling book ever published. In it, he addresses money, risk, and financial issues more than a few times. Casting of lots. Without a doubt, the most quoted scriptures when the sin of gambling arises is John 19:24. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, the scripture might be fulfilled. Debated by the scholars exactly what is referred to when the Bible mentions casting of lots is not conclusively agreed. Nevertheless, it is the act is certainly related to some kind of game of chance, perhaps the tossing of dice or the throwing or drawing of sticks of various lengths. While he died on the cross, the Roman soldiers gambled for his clothing. Nothing good can be found in the soldiers' actions. They were wrong for what they did. The question then must be asked, what comprised their sin? The stealing of Christ's clothing was certainly a sin. Do they also sin for gambling? One would think so from the number of people who reference this passage against gambling. I'd like to know who some of those people are, because that seems kind of silly. But anyway, one way to interpret the scripture is to analyze other verses that seem to make similar points. Perhaps some verses on the subject are clearer. If so, then the context of the first verse can be clearer too. Can one find the casting of lots elsewhere in Scripture? Yes, Acts 1:26 says this, "And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." no Roman soldiers are casting lots here. As a matter of fact, 11 of the men who walked the earth with Jesus himself, 11 of his very disciples, are men casting lots here. Are they casting lots for evil? Quite the opposite. They are casting lots to determine who will become the 12th disciple to replace Judas. To complete the 12 holy men, the first 11 disciples cast lots and chose Matthias. What admonition did God swiftly bring to these 11? Note, he seems to approve the act whereby the use of his book, allowing its use in his book without comment. These are the 12 who will represent and spread the gospel of the 12 tribes of Israel. They had acted wrongly in choosing the 12th number. He would have been the first to complain. One must conclude that the act of casting lots is not a sin in and of itself. One can extend that reasoning to support the games of chance are not sinful in and of themselves. Playing for money? It appears that Bill Bennett's family was unharmed financially by his casino experiences. Although the stories omit this, perhaps his wife was along with him when he ventured into them at times. Could she have sat down next to him and wagered a bet herself? The question now becomes, why are the games of chance for financial gain considered to be sin by so many religions? The expected returns of video poker are fixed and not arguable. Even casual players who practice a few hours before a casino trip hold a huge advantage and can expect far more of a return over players of almost all other games and casinos. Given Bennett's salary and financial resources, and given his routinely expected return from video poker, it appears that certain that he did not risk his family's future. He said his bills are paid and they have no financial troubles. His wife does not disagree. If he put gambling ahead of his family's safety and security, Bennett would be in big trouble. Now, this is just a pragmatic argument. Of course, he's not really answering the moral claim here, but I'm continuing to read on. If Bennett had risked the family's financial security, whether he gambled with the money invested in the stock market, bought real estate, or simply spent too much on haircuts, Bennett would have be showing a love for money that over his wife and his family, and his addiction would cause them serious trouble, and the consequences would be severe. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide of his own, especially those of his own household, he denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. But the amount of his play, while first seeming to be extraordinarily high to most people, does not comprise a family's finances when held under scrutiny. Jesus himself makes very clear that unless spending the money to commit a sin, a man can use his own money to do it as he pleases. Matthew 20:15 says clearly, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? If Jesus says that a man can do his own money what he wants, then why do many Christians want to trump Jesus' wisdom? And this is, of course, a couple of years ago when he's writing. Well, I have I think theologically this, Greg Perry is not being very thorough here. I agree with actually this last conclusion. I think it is lawful for a person to do what he wants with his own money, so provided that he does not worsen his family for it. I think there's very little difference between buying a lottery ticket, even though I don't buy lottery tickets, and putting a dollar in a video poker machine and buying a Blockbuster video or a candy bar or any other waste of money. I think at some level it is completely ridiculous to even talk about such a thing as having a moral implication, because I don't think it does. But I don't think that this is his arguments for pragmatism are the reason for it. I think efficiency might have something to do with it, and the fact that the Bible does not condemn lotteries or games of chance. I'm more opposed to governments taking in charge of a monopoly privilege that it denies to the market and creating a system of lotteries like it does in South Carolina and many other states. Although, as I've said in my own articles before, look, if the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the just, and this is just a stupid tax where people end up paying to play this dumb state lottery, I'd rather have them have only that and let only sinners pay taxes in the country of South Carolina or elsewhere. And then let me free. No sales taxes, no income taxes, no property taxes, nothing. Let these guys that play the lottery pay for it all through a voluntary tax, so there's no coercion of taxes anymore. It's still, you can ask, well, isn't that immoral for them? Well, perhaps so, but it's also immoral for them to steal money from me by extortion. So while I appreciate Perry taking a shot at this issue, I don't think he deals as thoroughly as I'd like to see him do so. And yesterday he had just an outstanding article on the public school, so I wanted to give him another one of the last words here, you can say, or one of the close to the last word here on Christian Worldview. Appreciate the young man's efforts in working through this issue. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. If that stirred up some controversy for you, give us a call. We'd like to talk to you about gambling or any other issue that's on your mind today. And it's 864-244-8177. Look forward to hearing from you soon, and we'll be back in just a minute. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
One of our researchers here at the Tyranny Response Network, who always enjoys reading on the internet, and who wouldn't? It's just a great deal of information available now at our fingertips. It's a wonderful invention, and not Al Gore's invention, by the way. It's certainly just the market generating picking up on a theme that the Department of Defense started to help with national security, and has spread a lot of information around to folks. Things that we weren't able to get at our fingertips, we now can get, and it sure helps with people getting informed on what's really going on with respect to public policy in the state. Well, Ayn Rand, the great objectivist, atheist, libertarian type, and she's a brand of libertarian that's way out there. The objectivist is a godless philosophy. It's the fountainhead made into real life. And although in principle we would vote along lines with objectivists in general, on most things, certainly we have to part ways at some point with them, being that they're opposed to the Christian worldview. She wrote in the Apollo 11, the July 16, 1969 launch, A Symbol of Man's Greatness by Ayn Rand, excerpted from the Apollo 11, the Objectivist, September 1969. No matter what discomforts and expenses you had to bear to come here, said NASA guide to a group of guests, the conclusion of a tour at the Space Center of Cape Kennedy on July 15, 1969, there will be 7 minutes tomorrow morning that will make you feel it was worth it. It was. The launch began with large paths of bright orange glow, yellow-orange flame shooting sideways from under the base of the rocket. It looked like a normal kind of flame, and I felt an instant shock of anxiety as if this were a building on fire. Blah, blah, blah. She recounts the whole landing in 1969. That the Tyranny Response Unit was about 6 years old at the time. I remember sitting at the Quonset hut set up by the government school where I had been consigned to for my indoctrination young, and listening to this stuff on the and watching the thing land, and with great excitement. The whole school stopped. Well, and Ayn Rand, of course, is talking about the philosophical and moral epistemological rationale or reasons why we should glory in this this abstraction of man's greatness, as she calls it. And it was a wonderful triumph for man to be able to go to the moon. What she doesn't, what seems to be the inconsistency here, as pointed out by one of our researchers here at TRN, is simply that NASA was a huge government project. It still is a huge government-funded project that taxpayers are looted for, and extortion occurs in order that government may expand its program. Now, I realize that as a byproduct, we've got microwave ovens and some calculators, things like that we would not have had without a NASA program. Those are all true. But for the billions and billions or trillions, probably by now, for all I know, that have been spent on NASA, is it really worth it? I mean, if government gives you, steals, $500,000 out of your bank account if you're wealthy, and then returns to you the next day and says, "Here, I'd like to give you a year's supply of groceries," was that good? Are you happy about them looting you for $500,000 and then give you all that groceries? Well, I think there's a real doubt there. Government should not be involved in promoting science, promoting business. It does so inefficiently, and even the space program, NASA, was done inefficiently. Now, someone's going to call in, I hope, and tell me that we haven't been to the moon. It's all a farce. I actually had someone debating with me a third line of reasoning that he said we went to the moon, but the pictures were so bad that they had to stage all the photographs of going to the moon. That we really went to the moon, but when they got there, the cameras didn't work well, and so what we did is we just doctored up a bunch of photos when we got back, and made it look good for people back on Earth to see the greatness of the program. So that sounds actually more plausible than the idea that we never went there at all. The pictures were staged in order to keep NASA's budget going, and not disappoint the public who was waiting to see great pictures from the moon. But Ayn Rand is really blowing it when she says, and it's very inconsistent with libertarian principles, by the way, that it's okay to fund this government project because it helped concretize the abstraction of man's greatness. It's a bunch of nonsense. Anyway, if you have a comment about Ayn Rand, I'd be happy to hear from you. Have we already come up against a break again? That last one was a short break. Either that, I was really long-winded the time beforehand. I'm afraid that probably is the latter. At any rate, we're going to run to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview this 12th day of July 2005. Currently everywhere in the upstate at 75 degrees with mostly cloudy or overcast skies. And today it's going to be continued, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and this morning, then scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the upper 80s, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain is set at 50%, so be prepared for possible rain as you make your way out to the office today and enjoy the cozy, climate-controlled comfort of your cubicle. Moving on to some other stories. Well, let me give you a couple of announcements first. I haven't done very many announcements today. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month. That's this week, by the way, at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from the Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and the Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Also want to remind you this Thursday night, next Thursday night, you have the Constitution Party meeting as well as the, and I'm not sure where that's going to be held. They haven't told me yet where it's going to be held, so I can't tell you where. I can call the Constitution Party folks, or at least I'll go to their website and email them and they'll probably be able to tell you. We also have the League of the South meeting the same night. Whoever coordinated that, it was a real planning problem, but at any rate, those meetings are coming up. You can look at the tyrannyresponse.com website and go to the home page, scroll down to the calendar, and you'll see when all the great events in the upstate are occurring this month. Also want to remind you about our friends at the Times Examiner. Lest I forget, the Times Examiner, it's an important upstate newspaper, has great columnists like Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Charlie Reese, Dr. John Coben, Ben Graydon, Stephen Yates, upstate favorites. as well as many other pro-life libertarian and true conservative columnists. Now, there are some neocons there, and many people realize who they are, and after you read one column of Tony Beam or so, you decide probably you're not going to read any more. That's okay. You don't have to throw the paper away because there's a neocon in there or two, and he hates being called a neocon, I know, but I don't know what else to say. He's a George Bush supporter. He supports the war in Iraq and the foreign aggressive policies, like all other neocons, so if it looks like a neocon and walks like a neocon and talks like a neocon, then it's probably a neocon. Simple logic. I know that's all nursery rhyme sort of stuff, but what can you say? The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at other offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full-year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state, $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. If you want to place an ad, you can call David at 859-6817, 859-6817 in the 864 area code, and he'll be happy to take your order today. We'd like to thank you again for listening to Christian Worldview today. We know that your time is valuable, and if you're listening to this show, it's because you not only enjoy what's being said here, but you believe that the things we talk about are of value to your own personal development and growth as a Christian, and understanding the Christian worldview, the logic and principles of our founding fathers, and why it's worth fighting for in this nation, these great principles for the sake of ourselves and our posterity. We believe the truths that the founders held are based in the scriptures, are things that are compatible with the Christian worldview, but that the Christian worldview has become so messed up and contorted with paganism and neocon conservatism of a most outlandish variety, that some radical surgery, radical correction is needed if we're going to actually make some changes here in the world and have an influence on our society, as the Bible commands us to do in the dominion mandate in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and through 29 and elsewhere. Well, let's get back to a quick news story, and then we're going to, believe it or not, after all those announcements, go take a quick break. Reagan's biggest mistake finally retires. Ann Coulter says on July 7th, "The fundamental goal of the next Supreme Court justice should be to create a record that would not inspire Senator Chuck Schumer to say, as he did of Justice O'Connor last week, 'We hope the president chooses someone thoughtful, mainstream, pragmatic, someone just like Sandra Day O'Connor.' That's our litmus test. We accept only judicial nominees violently opposed by Chuck Schumer." Showing what a tough job it is to be president, when Bush announced O'Connor's resignation, he called her a discerning and conscientious judge and a public servant of complete integrity. Read, she's a traitor, an abortionist, a feminist, and a gay rights activist. That's really what she was. She did support us on the property rights issue, but she bats about, 100, maybe 150 or something like that. She wouldn't be at the All-Star game tonight, that's for sure. Unless you're on Bush's All-Star team, and then we all lose. Whether they win or not, we all lose. I assume he was reading from the script originally drafted by Justice Rehnquist's anticipated resignation, but still he said it. It's hard to say which of O'Connor's decision was the worst. It's like asking people to name their favorite Beatle or favorite unaborted child. Of course, it's often hard to say what her decision was, period. In lieu of clear rules or what we used to call law, O'Connor preferred conjuring up a five-part balancing test that settled nothing. That woman could never make up her mind. O'Connor incomprehensibly said, "The court expects that 25 years from now, the use of racial preferences will no longer be necessary to further the interest approved today." So now constitutional rules come with the expiration dates, bringing to mind the image of O'Connor proffering one of her written opinions to Justice Scalia and asking, "Does this smell bad to you?" Strangely enough, she failed to specify which month and day of the year 2028 that affirmative action would no longer be justifiable under the Constitution. It's often said that O'Connor's problem is that she's not a judge, but a legislator. O'Connor's real calling was a schoolyard bully, maliciously making up rules and willy-nilly as she went along. Religion may be able to get along without the government, but apparently sodomy and abortion cannot. Those, O'Connor found, were special rights protected by the Constitution. O'Connor took sadistic glee at refusing to overturn Roe v. Wade, and in the face of unending strife, it has caused the nation, and it hasn't been easy on 30 million aborted babies either, or the 50 million for that matter. matter. The last 20, we don't want to forget about them. To overrule under fire in the absence of the most compelling reason would subvert the court's legitimacy beyond any serious question when she co-authored the opinion in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, upholding Roe versus Wade. Yes, the court has really crowned itself in glory with those abortion decisions. Overruling a precedent would really compelling value like our right to sodomize one another. Indeed. For all the blather about O'Connor's moderation and pragmatism and motherly instincts, Mommy Dearest signed under the most monstrous opinion of the history of the court, Steinberg versus Carhart, which proclaimed a heretofore unnoticed unconstitutional right to puncture the skull of a half-delivered baby and suction its brains out, just as the framers so clearly intended. In her 2003 memoir, Miss Pragmatic Consensus wrote, "Humility is the most difficult virtue, which perhaps explains why she never attempted it." O'Connor spent the last quarter of a century paying America back with no offense intended to non-believers who are reasonable observers embodying a community ideal of social judgment as well as rational judgment. Thank God the punishment is finally over, and we agree wholeheartedly with Ann Coulter. Good riddance to Sandra Day O'Connor. Wish you had retired 20 years ago or whenever it was that you took the seat, or happened to die in your sleep. Would have been a whole lot easier than having to deal with all the mayhem and chaos and murder that you've spewed forth, and not to mention treason and international law subverting our Constitution upon the American people. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, late for a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And this is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview. Welcome back. had a good article this morning, Destroying Your Child to Save a Buck by Gary North. I always enjoy reading Gary North, except that it's so hard to read excerpts from his article. I end up having to read the whole thing because of the way he writes. But I'm going to try to excerpt something out of it this morning because it's important to do so on this article, I think. On May 26th, my article, Whining Parents, was published on this website. That's the Lou Rockwell website, lourockwell.com. The article reproduced published statements on a website regarding parents discussed with one test and you pass policy of Gwinnett County, Georgia middle schools. The parents all reported that they fought with their children about doing their homework when it was obvious that their children were rational. The kids knew they would pass the exam without doing their homework, so why do the homework? The posted statements indicated these battles had already taken place and the kids had won. The parents expressed frustration they could not persuade their children of what was clearly parental nonsense given a system of school sanctions, namely that extra credit, which did not count, homework, was worth doing. It was clear that the parents knew the school system of sanctions was determining their children's commitment to hard work, and yet all they did was argue with their children to get more sanctions. My point is this, for the parents were not ignoring the education system sanctions, namely to tax parents and offer free education for their children. The parents bit hook, line, and stinker. Stinker, he says. So that's pretty good. The parents were no more willing to pull their kids out of the public schools, despite the morally corrosive effect of the school's academic sanctions, than their children were willing to do homework that would not count. I also fully understand that I have as much chance of persuading them to ignore the local school system sanctions to pull their kids out of the schools as they have persuading their children to do homework. What is clear is this, that those parents who sent their children into a bureaucratic, socialistic, taxpayer-funded nut house, the nut house policies were visibly eroding their children's sense of obligation to work hard, yet only one parent planned to pull her child out of the nut house. Who then were truly immoral, the administrators or the parents? Let me skip down to the conclusion. This is why I've gotten into trouble with parents over the years by arguing that their children should not be enrolled in the compulsory school system, that there are ways out of the trap. That is what it is. I hired private school owner Robert Thoburn 2 decades ago to write The Children Trap, which I have posted for free online, but I get little agreement. So there is no massive boycott by conservatives or anyone else. Nevertheless, family by family, there are individual boycotts. These are not organized. There is no national plan. They are not merely individual decisions by parents, family by family. Parents conclude that it is time to stop whining. It is time to pull their children out. They are responsible for their children. They are not responsible for anyone else's children. They do not imagine that the opinion of their other parents regarding the public schools has any bearing on their moral decision. Most important, they really do regard it as a moral decision. Conclusion, when your children are at risk, you must take evasive action, even if it means shopping at Dollar General. Dollar General, what's that? Some kind of... Well, I don't know what Dollar General is. I haven't been there yet. I have to go find a Dollar General now because there's Gary North. I wonder if they're in the Yellow Pages. Gary North said I should go there, so I should go check it out. Well, Gary North has a lot of wisdom, and we advocate here and vociferously on the Christian Worldview program that you should not have your children in the pagan seminary. That is the government school. If you do, you are in sin. You are doing something that's wrong. There's no way that your children are salt and light there and making a difference. What's happening is your children are being indoctrinated with paganism, alternative lifestyle, environmentalist babble, I should say, Marxism, socialism, or any other brand of totalitarianism. They are being indoctrinated against the ideals of the founding fathers and in favor of secular humanism. Why in the world would you want your kid to go to such a place? If we're going to make a difference in the world and actually take our country back and actually promote the ideals of liberty in this country, you need to get them out of the pagan seminary. They attend there 7 days a week, a total of 5 hours a day or 35 hours per week, and probably, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours, obviously, over the 182-day school year that they're there being indoctrinated. How in the world do you expect that just doing a little bit at home, if anything, most parents claim they'll do something, they do nothing at home with their kids, or by sending them to church Sunday school 1 hour a week, we can possibly combat the onslaught of paganism and nonsense that's going through the minds of these kids. You can't win that way, folks. You're fighting an uphill battle. You need to pull your kids out of the school. They should never be there in the first place. And if you're teaching there, you need to get out of there, unless you're planning to plant bombs to somehow raise the buildings, which would be fine. If you were a mole there to actually do something radical and change the world, that'd be okay. But if you're just there collecting a paycheck and then talking about how you can be an influence in salt and light, well, I'll tell you what, you might as well just go down to the local topless bar and start witnessing to the prostitutes or whoever in there as well, because by the same logic of going into an evil place, you could go one to the other. Go to a gangster's house or a gambling casino if you hate gambling so much, or go to an abortion clinic. I mean, all these places are evil things that produce evil. They don't produce good things. Public schools are not doing good for society, and you're not doing good by being there, and the quicker you realize it, the better. Now it sounds harsh, Dr. Coben. Well, someone's got to tell you the truth, and if it's not going to be your pastor, then I'm going to be happy to do it. Your pastor's probably too scared because he's afraid that you'll boot him out of office. Can't boot me out of office. You can only turn off the radio. Go ahead if you want, but then you're not going to hear what's true. The public school is the greatest enemy of truth and the greatest proponent of tyranny that the United States has ever faced, and you need to not support it either by working there or by having your kids in that filthy place. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've just been laughing in the studio here talking about Fred Reed got an article about marrying dogs and other animals as the next logical step after sodomite unions. You know, why not Heather has two mommies? Why not Heather's mommy has feathers? Makes sense, if you're twisted in your logic by the liberal left and the agenda of the alternative lifestyle folks, which you can all learn about at the public school. If you haven't been there recently, they promote it. Well, here's gunownersofamerica.org, who we support, of course, here at Christian Worldview. Will the next Supreme Court justice support the Second Amendment? Ask President Bush to not nominate the anti-gun Alberto Gonzalez. He's also pro-abortion, so we want to get rid of him for that. But Tony Beam likes him. If you listen to the Festival of Ignorance or others around, they like him, so I guess it's okay. If Tony, you know, if the Christian Worldview leaders of the area like it, well, go for it. Well, don't. I'm telling you, folks, this is not a good person to vote for, to have on the Supreme Court. It might be just as bad or worse than Sandra Day O'Connor. It looks like Judicial Rumor Mill was right on the money. There has been increasing speculation in recent weeks that Supreme Court justices would be stepping down soon. While many thought it would be Rehnquist, turned out to be O'Connor. Let me skip down through the article about Gonzalez. Gonzalez was put on the highest state court by then-Texas Governor George Bush in 1999.
When he testified before the U.S. Senate on January 18, 2005, Gonzalez expressed his unequivocal support for gun control. Fox News quoted Gonzalez on that day as saying, "The president has made it clear that he stands ready to sign reauthorization of the federal assault weapons ban if it is sent to him by Congress. I, of course, support the president on this issue." Great. Farah spent some time with Gonzalez at a private dinner meeting, talking about Joseph Farah, the founder and head of WorldNet Daily. And in November 11, 2004, column reported he was stunned and horrified at Gonzalez's view of the Constitution. Isn't that interesting? So why should we have him on the Supreme Court? Well, we shouldn't, perhaps. We'd probably get him. The point should be clear. There are good judges who can fill the void on the court. The only thing that make it better, he's already Hispanic, right? So that gives him like a little brownie point. And the voters. And maybe if he turns out to be like bisexual, or maybe he's like marrying chickens or has a polygamy cult or something, you know, then he'd be a real... He'd be so far out there that you know, you get extra affirmative action points, and you know, Bush would be pleasing lots of different constituencies. The point should be clear. There are good judges who can fill the void on the court. Despite his friendship with Alberto Gonzalez, the president should be reminded that millions of people did not flock to the polls to defeat Al Gore and John Kerry just so he could appoint liberal anti-gunners to the high court. Yeah, well, they didn't have any idea. They were ignorant. They did something foolish. And now we're going to end up with somebody like Alberto Gonzalez, where he's not going to get our support here. Pragmatism drove Bush in Texas to judicial choices, the Washington Post says in July 2005. During Bush's 6 years as governor of the 1990s, his early judicial retirements and resignations allowed him to fill dozens of vacancies. Perhaps the most illustrative case demonstrating Bush's impact on Texas occurred as he was immersed in his presidential bid in early 2000. The majority of the state Supreme Court, most of whom Bush had appointed, issued a 6-3 decision that cleared the way for a 17-year-old girl to have an abortion without parental consent. The ruling denounced by an anti-abortion advocate is the reason why many conservatives are uneasy about what direction Bush will take when he considers candidates to replace O'Connor. Advocacy groups say, and that, of course, Gonzalez was on that court, right? One of the justices there. Advocacy groups on both ends of the political spectrum are scrutinizing Bush's record in Texas. George Bush's judicial appointments as governor before he made his pact with the far right were generously pro-business conservatives who tended to be moderate on social issues, said Ralph G. Nias, president of the People of the American Way, who is leading the opposition to strong conservative appointment. The problem is that we see today he later made irrevocable promises to give the right to get elected that he would give them the courts. People fear he's not conservative enough. Anthony Champagne, a political scientist, professor at the University of Texas at Dallas, said before Bush shaped the high court, the joke he used to be that judges never met an insurance company they didn't like. In some instances in the lower courts, Bush appointed moderate Democrats with the expectation they would ultimately run for election as Republicans. The 2005 abortion decision, which caused a rift on the court, still reverberates for Gonzalez. Gonzalez found himself at odds with another justice, Priscilla R. Owen, whom Bush later appointed to the federal appeals courts. Candidates said interviews centered on casual questions as well as their view of law and judicial philosophy. It was clear, they said, Bush was not looking for people to make policy, but we find, guess what, that Alberto Gonzalez is a sellout, and Bush is a sellout, and you can only expect evil to come from this man. If you're expecting to get a good judge out of this guy, guess again. We're not going to be surprised when we find out what really happens here. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've just run out of time, folks. Wish we had more time, but there will be tomorrow, and we look forward to having you back again for another edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.